When the last tape ended, you were in the process of relating what you did in the second term as chairman of the membership committee.
Right.
And I think you mentioned, stated that you made the point of selecting your own committee members.
Yes. And as things progressed, I think I made some excellent suggestions. I mean, excellent selections. And I can't offhand recall all the names, but anyway, they were a very responsive group. And we made one thing that we made several changes, but one of the outstanding changes we made was a more specific response to anybody that objected to a prospective member. Prior to that, I think people would call in or they write a little note, I don't like this guy, because they wouldn't even say why or where or what happened, why they didn't like it. But we designed, with the help of the committee, we designed a form where you have to be specific. When did you know this person? How long have you known and been social or business? And if so, if you object, please state your objections in detail. Well, that brought forth, I think, some very helpful controls, because prior to that, people were getting denied who actually I don't think deserved to be denied. And if I could relate to one instance, and this is an unfortunate situation. This fellow, his wife had passed away several years ago. He was a non-resident member. And he had remarried this Japanese lady. And they lived, I think, in Australia. And then when he passed away, she wanted to inherit, of course, his membership. And I got letters saying, you know, that she broke up his home, et cetera, et cetera. And I was very concerned, but anyway, she came in. And I had found out from other sources that this was a very nice, well-educated lady. And we had her come in, and she, poor lady, she was in tears. But for some reason or other, the persons that objected to her, I don't think really knew enough about her. And as a result, why she was accepted as replacement for her husband. As an associate member,
you know,
but that because I had insisted on a complete, direct response to this question.
I can attest to the effectiveness of that particular change that you instigated, because recently you were no longer on the committee, but not too long ago, we had a member who, rather a person who applied for membership several years. He was on the waiting list for quite a period. Finally, he came up for consideration. He was posted. Upon being posted, well, we got two or three letters. That is, committed. I was one of the sponsors, but I was thinking, of course, they didn't disclose any of the information to me, but I was advised that there had been a number of objections. And so the chairman of the committee said, we are investigating. And he said, and we'll let you know the final outcome. And the final outcome was this person was admitted for membership. But the point I'm trying to make is that they made a thorough investigation, and they found out that those who had objected to the name without even knowing who the person was. And there was a name that they thought would be associated with somebody entirely different. And when it came to light, they said, oh, I don't mean him, and withdrew the objections. But this testifies to the third job that the committee is doing now. It's a very good job.
I agree with what. It's unfortunate the way that some of the objections were accepted, and without thorough background. One instance I always remember, this one person was turned down. As a matter of fact, it was almost a draw vote, but there was one that made it, so it was one in excess of the other portion that voted negative. And being chairman, I was approached by the sponsors wanting to know how it come. I said, it's the committee's ruling. It's the committee's decision. And it goes to the board. So if you want to complain about maybe you think the committee made a mistake, why talk to the board? He said, we have, and the board has accepted your recommendations. I said, well, I'm sorry. He says, well, I'm going to take you to court. I said, be my guest.
Make my day. Eh?
Yeah, make my day. He said, yep, we're going to take it. I said, okay, well, you can take me a coach. You'll have to take the president of the
club. Some of the members of the board.
Yeah, the members of the board. I said, but nothing happened after that. But, of course, because it's all confidential, we don't reveal what transpires.
And I would say that when I had this little situation recently, that the chairman of the committee revealed nothing other than the fact that there had been some objections and that they were investigating. And then he did reveal the fact that the objections had no substance and why they had no substance, which was perfectly legitimate.
Yeah.
He never said who disclosed names or anything like that.
I think it's an excellent way because our club, you know, we can have such wonderful standards and so on. And we have such limited space, so we limit the number. Mm-hmm. And then everything's based on...
You've had so many assignments, I say 18 different assignments during the course of your activities with the club. Spanning a considerable number of years, and consequently, I imagine that you have some maybe interesting anecdotes that you could recall that may have occurred during those years that you were active in administration of the club.
Well, what can I go back? I'd like to go back to one instance, which I'm sure you may have known about or heard about, and this is back in the old club, if I may go back that far.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember Harrison Chandler?
Yes.
President of Times Mirror Press.
Oh, very well.
And they were printing...
I have a picture of Harrison Chandler and you and Doug and Ballard and me at a tea house party. Remember that tea house party?
Ah, yeah, I don't have that.
You don't have that?
I have some others, but I don't recall having that.
I'll show you.
Will you give me...
Yeah, make a copy for you. Yes.
Terrific. Well, let me tell you what happened. And this is back before we moved, it was in the 50s, sometime in the 50s, about 50, because they were doing, printing of our directory over the Times Mirror Press. Well, Harrison came over, and Doug, I was a member, so had Doug and Jack Reed, and Ernie Halford, and Bob Fisher, and of course, Harrison and myself. We went to lunch at the Aubrey, the old site, and we sat there, and we had, as you probably can remember, knowing Doug, with several cocktails. And then lunch, and then Doug says, "Well, let's go canoeing." But Bob Fisher looked down; there wasn't a canoe in sight. It was surfers out there, but no canoes. The waves are running like maybe 8 feet, and you don't take a canoe out and anything over maybe 4 or 5 feet at the most. Well, Bob says, "No, I don't think we better go, Doug." He said, "Oh, come on, let's go." And I said, "No." So finally, he insisted, "Okay." So Harrison went over, he was staying at the Royal. He went over, he changed, he got into his little shorts. And we were all members. Doug changed there too in the club. And Jack Reed and Ernie Halford. So we got this canoe and the guys on the beach were all looking at us, wondering where these crazy guys going to see. So we went out. Bob was the steersman.
Bob Fisher was the steersman.
Yeah. I was number 5. Harrison was number 1. So we put him way out in front. Okay. So we went out. And a series of waves come, maybe 3 or 4 or 5. And the first one's maybe a couple of feet, and then they get higher. Yeah. So what Bob was, as soon as that first wave came, he caught it, and he went right in the shore and had a nice ride, see? And Doug said, gee, come on, let's get one of the big ones. So we went back out, and we waited for it. First one went by, second went by, third, pretty soon. Doug said, let's go. So pretty soon the canoe turned, and the Alma broke off. And the canoe just turned fully. Paddles were all over the place. Doug, Reed, and Halford, they just took off. They swam in the shore. But Chandler hung onto the canoe. I was trying to gather up the paddles and so on. I kept saying, Harrison, get away from that canoe. And he was petrified. He was hanging onto this canoe, you know. And here I was trying to hang onto get the rest of the armor together. So finally the canoe drifted in where it was shallow enough so he could touch bottom and walk. So he left the canoe in one end. So Bob Fisher and I went and got the canoe and we started trying to put the armor back on. And by that time, we were down in front of the Halekulani Hotel. We could barely get out. And the guys on the beach just standing there laughing at us, just laughing at us. So we finally put the canoe together and enough sufficiently so we could get it back in. And then, oh God, were we tired. Well, when we get back there, practically everybody had left. But we had to go over to Harrison's place to get something with the hotel. And we went to there, and they knocked on the door, and first he wouldn't, Bob and I, and he wouldn't let us in, or he wouldn't respond. So finally, he came. He said, what do you want? We said, Harrison, remember, we left some things here for Kimmy. He says, yes, you can. He says, we said, Harrison, we're sorry. He says, don't you know I don't know how to swim?
Oh, no.
We said, oh, no, Harrison, we're sorry. He says, you should know I don't know how to swim. So there we were. We're just fortunate Harrison is still alive.
When you even drown the poor guy.
Oh, we could, yeah.
This would have been a tragic thing throughout the nation. The person of the Times Mirror.
Yeah. Imagine, a multimillionaire, oh, no. President of China, Times Mirror Press. So, well, I always remember that incident. And as I say, old Bob was, oh, when I look back, the canoe was going this way. Bob was up in the air, really paddle. So I said, if he's going, I'm going to go this way. So I went this way with my paddle, then the canoe. And he said, boom. And these guys that took off, Reed and Doug and Ernie Alford, but I always remember those. Oh, incidentally, we didn't talk about the first one of these historical oral history.
The first oral history. Yeah. You were responsible for that?
Of course.
Sir, forgive me, I forgot about that. Of course I remember
and,
that.
And should remember, you were one of the disciplines.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I have.
So that's one of the things you also can take credit for, is the beginning of the oral history program.
Well, after I had suggested the history committee. And the
historical committee.
Historical committee, I'm sorry. And the board agreed. Then I went to Marick and Whistler one day, and I said, hey, how about a little oral history? She said, what's that? I said, Joe, you get a group of people together, and you ask them questions, or you can have on a one-to-one basis. She said, well, that's terrific. So anyway, I called up Tucker Chase, Jack McKenzie, Newt Cottrell, Judge Steiner, Joe Stickney, Ronald Smith, and Rick and Westlaw Jackson. And let's see, who is that other one? I remember. Yeah, J. Ward Russell. And that was back in July 8th, 1968. 1968. Yes, 1968. We met down in the boardroom. And, you know, it was a group. It was not on a one-to-one basis. And I always remember how much fun it was after we got started. At first, it was difficult to get responses. But after a while, there was so much going on, it was difficult to turn people off. You know? But anyway, it was very, very, it was fascinating. And I have a copy of what they all said and so on. And, of course, of what you said at the end and how much you appreciated being asked and so on. But what happened, I think it was in 1986, 2 years ago, I was sitting in the, when I was on the admissions committee, I was sitting in the office there, and in walked this lady, and she said, you know, I got something in the mail about this oral history. And it was some Hawaiian man that conducted the interview. And I was sitting there, and I said, when was that? She said, well, it was back in 1968, and my husband was one being involved. I said, who's this Hawaiian man? She says, I don't know. Oh, yes. She says, a Mr. Kia. I said, well, you're looking at Bill Kia. She says,
who was that?
Mrs. Stickney.
Oh, for goodness sake. Joe's wife.
Joe's wife. So I said, she said, she just enjoyed this so much, you know, she got a copy of this printout. I said, would you like a copy of the tape? She said, I'd love it. So I said, well, I'll get you a copy of the tape that we made of this, like we're doing today. So I got the copy. I said, I'll leave it at the front desk. And next time you're here, I'll pick it up. Well, a week went by, another week went by, and I checked, and the tape was still there. So I called her, and I said, Mrs. Stickney, would you like me to deliver the tape? She says, well, I want you to know, Mr. Kerr, as I was going home one day here recently, she lives up St. Louis Heights, and she had quite a walk from the street up to her home. A little pathway. She slipped and fell and broke her arm. So she was, and she lives alone. And she said she just couldn't come down to get the tape. And I said, I'd be happy to bring it up. I'll just come up and bring it up. So I went up there and I thought, you know, I'd just deliver the tape, take 5 or 10 minutes, and then I'd be off. Well, to sum it up, I was there over an hour. And she was such an interesting person. She was telling me all about her husband, Joe. He used to be a salesman for Ralph Lauren Young many years ago, over on Bertanda Street, Hotel Street, whatever it was. And she went on and on and told me, and showed me pictures, you know, and how much she missed it, which was quite sad at times to hear all this. And what a great fellow he was, you know. And I said, well, as I said, this must have gone for an hour. And I kept saying, well, this is taking me, I think I'm going to leave. She said, well, just before you go, just a minute, she said, just a minute. So she goes inside, and she goes back with a little box about so little box about this. She opens it up, and there's four or five pheasant lays.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Some blue ones, brown ones.
Pheasant lays?
Pheasant lays.
Oh, my.
Beautiful. Blues and browns and so on. And she said, I want you to have one of these. I said, oh, no, no, this is sticky. Those are from,
that was from valuable.
Joe. And then, yeah. I said, well, no, that's why. I said, well, don't you have relatives? She said, no, I've already taken care of all the relatives and so on. I want you to have one. I said, no, thank you. I started to leave. So she picks up the blue one, and she hands it and says, take this. Well, I tell you, I was shocked. It was such a beautiful thing.
Oh, my.
Well, it was, I've had it for years since then. But just recently, about 6 months ago, I decided to give my daughter Carol. Incidentally, I haven't told you what my daughter Carolani is a member of the Outbreak. But anyway, I bought her a nice big white Panama hat and put the bubulera and gave it to her on her birthday here.
Oh, thank you.
She was just thrilled.
Oh, terrific.
But this Mrs. Stickney, I tell you, I always remember her. And she, oh, and then she called me and told me, she says, you know, I just sit here almost every evening and listen to that tape and listen to Joe.
This is a real testimony to this program.
Yeah.
That's great.
I tell you, give people who want a copy of this tape, and which she did, she just enjoys
it. You know, that brings up a point. We have some people who have made tapes or interviews. I don't know whether or not we have thought of asking any of their family if they would like a copy of the tapes. This is something that I'd have to check with the committee, but if she was so interested in getting a copy of Joe's tape, there must be others.
Especially when he had passed away. So
yeah.
And she just sat there. She'd sit there and listen to his voice, you know, and laugh at times and cry, she would say, at other times. Just to hear him, and he was just—he just did such a great job. So that was, as I say.
Any other little recollections that you have that would be good?
Well, getting to know Ward Russell better than I have in the past, I think that is on a social basis rather than a mischievous basis at the Hawaiian Telephone Company, has meant a great deal to me. He's been a good friend, a great guy, and I've enjoyed very much being his friend. As a matter of fact, I feel even closer to being his friend. I feel like we're related. Warren, I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to relate to these many things, which have done a great deal to my life. And here I am. I'm trying to repay, and I have for several years, for the wonderful things that I've enjoyed, the privileges, the enjoyment of going to Kamehameha schools and then on to university. And incidentally, when I worked for the telephone company, I attended an advanced management course, which was up at Punahou campus. We stayed up there, and there was 20 students from the mainland, 20 from Australia, and 20 from here. And I had there again, I meant to mention that. But all in all, I've just been so fortunate throughout my life to have these wonderful experiences with these great people that meant a great deal to me, and something I'll always remember and treasure as I get older and older. I'll treasure even greater. Thank you so much.
Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure. You mentioned that just now that the long association that we've had together, and I'd just like to comment on that association. You know, I stated earlier that you were my boss on a number of occasions at the telephone company, but for the record, I want to say this. I never worked for you. I always worked with you. And you're one of the few bosses I ever had that I could really say that about. We've had a wonderful friendship 50 years, and after all, you're my next of kin.
That's right. All right.
We won't put that on the record.
What can I go back? I neglected to mention the fact that I'm so proud of my daughter, Carolyn.
Oh, absolutely.
Who was born in 1940, and she was a very active athlete at Punahou. She went to Punahou. And then she was going to the outbreak regularly. And then when she was about 10 years old, so one day she came home and she said she couldn't get a locker. And I said, how come? She said, well, she said, she's not a member. I said, oh, well, that's easy. I'll get you as a member. So, as I said, she was 10 years old. That was 1950. So I got her in as a member. And she's been very active since, as you know, in surfing and in canoeing. I remember the first canoe race she was involved in. She was a stitch. She was only about 11 or 12, I guess, maybe less than that, even just after she got admitted. It was down at the harbor. That's where the races used to be, down at the harbor downtown. And she was a stitch, and her canoe was going back sideways. And she, poor thing, at the end, she was crying, you know. But after that, she developed into one of the most, as far as I'm concerned, an outstanding paddler and a surfer. And she was the first Miss Surf Queen of international meet at the surf championships in Macau.
Oh, yes.
And she was 15 years old.
How old was she then?
15. And she was the first Miss Surf
Queen. Was your son, was Bunny ever a member of the club? Because she spent most of his life after he graduated from Punahou and Stanford on the mainland.
Yeah.
But
now, Bill was Bunny, which we call him, because he was born so close to Easter.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was the name, Bunny.
Yeah, on March 31st. Now, Bill, after leaving Punahou, he went on to Stanford and remained there and was, well, he was well occupied in various activities. And more recently, he's been more of an entrepreneur. He's doing very well. He's got a beautiful home in up in the northern part of California, above Los Angeles. And he is doing very well. He's got a nice home and a nice wife. And he has three girls. And incidentally, Kehoe has two boys. And they're on the mainland. One is in the Marine Corps now.
Really?
Yeah. And the other is in college. And the one in the Marine Corps is getting out in a few months, and he's going to go back to college. And they're all doing well. But I'm just real proud of the things that Kehoe has done in her life.
It's hard to believe that Kehoe is a dynamite. She's 47, 48 years old?
Yeah.
Bill, this has been a lot of fun.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Ward. Like it's always been, to be with you, it's been just the real. You've done so much to enhance my life.
Oh, thank you very much, Robert. It's a ritual.
Oh, let's share.
Thank you. Thank you very much.